That's all very well,
but they're the only people who had a motive for doing away with Protheroe.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Why? Can you think of anyone else?
Oh, yes, indeed. I can think of at least 7 people who would be very glad to have Colonel Protheroe out of the way.
7 people? Well, in St. Mary Mead.
Oh, mind you, I name no names. That wouldn't be right. But I'm afraid there's a lot of wickedness in the world. A nice, honourable, upright soldier like you doesn't know about these things, Colonel Melchett.
I suppose there's no doubt about what she says.
If Miss Marple says Anne Protheroe had no pistol with her, you can take it for granted that's so. If there was the least possibility of such a thing, Miss Marple would have been onto it like a shot. If you pardon the pun.
Yeah, that's true enough.
Well, what's the next step?
I'm going to follow up Miss Marple's suggestion and have a little talk with Redding and Mrs. Protheroe.
Yes.
Snack had better be in on it too. And I'd like it to happen at the scene of the crime, if you have no objections, Vicar.
I've been an absolute idiot. How could I possibly have thought for a minute that Anne would do such a thing?
Perhaps you'd like to tell us what did happen.
There's not much to tell. You see, Vicar, I decided I was going to follow your advice.
Oh, yes?
I arranged to meet Mrs. Protheroe at the studio at 6:15 to tell her that I had made up my mind it would be best for all concerned if I went away. Mm. She agreed that it was the only thing to do.
How long were you in the studio together?
It can't have been more than 10 minutes. As we came into the lane, we ran into Dr. Stone, and I went off with him to the drink at the Blue Boar.
And when did you come out?
It must have been nearly 7:15. I thought I'd go home, but when I got to the corner of the road, I made up my mind I'd tell Mr. Clement what I'd decided. Your maid told me that you were out, but would be back shortly. Colonel Protheroe was already in the study, she said.
Go on, Mr. Redding.
Well, I didn't like to go away again. It looked as though I was trying to avoid him. So I said I'd wait too, and I went into the study.
And what did you find there?
I think you know. Protheroe was sitting at the writing desk. I went up to him. He was dead. Then I looked down and saw the pistol lying on the floor. It was my pistol.
Your pistol?
There was only one conclusion I could come to. Anne must have taken my pistol some time or other, perhaps meaning to use it on herself, if she couldn't bear things any longer. I thought she must have had it with her, and that after we parted in the village, she had come back here and it seems monstrous now, but I could think of no other explanation. I slipped a pistol in my pocket.
This pistol of yours, Mr. Redding, when did you last see it before the murder?
It's hard to say exactly.
Where'd you keep it?
On a shelf of the bookcase in my cottage.
So that anyone who came in could have seen it?
Yes.
And who has been to see you lately?
All sorts of people. I had a tea party there the day before yesterday. Lettuce was there, and Dennis and Miss Cram. Haydock was there for a while, and that curate of yours, Mr. Clement, what's his name?
Oh, Mr. Hawes.
Yes.
Do you lock the cottage up when you go out?
Why on earth should I? No one dreams of locking the house up round here.
So it comes to this. Almost anyone might have taken the pistol.
It seems so, yes.
Oh, really?
Dr. Haydock's here. He's brought Mrs. Protheroe.
All right, ask them to come in, will you, Mary?
You can go in now.
I'll wait for you in the sitting room, Mrs. Protheroe.
Thank you, Doctor.
Anne, forgive me. It was abominable of me to think what I did.
Is it true what Dr. Haydock's told me?
That Mr. Redding is cleared of suspicion? Yes. And now, what about this story of yours, Mrs. Protheroe?
I suppose you think it dreadful of me.
Shall we say, very foolish. But that's over.
What we want now is the truth, the absolute truth.
I will tell you. I suppose you know about everything.
Oh, yes. We all know.
The chauffeur drove Lucius and me into the village. I had some shopping to do. As we parted, Lucius mentioned he had a meeting with Mr. Clement. I had arranged to meet Lawrence in the studio at 6:15. I couldn't get word to him to warn him that my husband was going to be at the vicarage.
So what did you do?
I thought that perhaps Lucius might not stay very long. So I went along the back lane to the side gate. And, of course, Miss Marple had to be in her garden. We talked for a few minutes, and I told her I was going to call for my husband.
And what happened after you left her?
I went across to the vicarage and round the corner of the house to the study window. I expected to hear the sound of voices, but there wasn't a thing. I glanced in and saw that the room was empty, and I hurried across the lawn to the studio where Lawrence joined me almost at once.
Would you mind showing us now exactly what you did?
Whatever you wish.
Inspector Slack will open the window for you.
Very good.
Now, if you'd be so good as to step out onto the terrace, go round the corner of the house and walk back past the window, just as you did the other day.
Of course.
And then come straight back in again.
Yes, Inspector.
Now, Clement, if you'd go and sit at your writing table...
Oh, as Prothero did. Yes, very well.
And lean over the desk, as if you were writing.
She's coming now. Thank you, Mrs. Prothero.
Did that tell you what you wanted to know?
Is that exactly how it was?
Yes, I think so.
Then can you tell us, Mrs. Prothero, exactly where the vicar was when you looked in?
The vicar? I'm afraid I didn't see him at all.
Then that's why you didn't see your husband. He was out of your field of vision at the writing desk.
You mean it was there that... Lucius?
Yes, Mrs. Prothero. He was shot while he was sitting there.
It makes me feel quite sick. Is that all? Can I go now?
Yes, Mrs. Prothero. You can go.
Will you be needing me any more?
I have no further questions.
I'll come with you, Anne. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And thank you.
Goodbye, Mrs.
So, back to square one.
Yes, I have a feeling that this is going to turn out to be a much more intricate case than any of us had imagined. We're only beginning.
I've never known anything like it, Mrs. Clement. When Dr. Stone told me we were coming to St. Mary Mead, I thought that little Gladys was going to be bored to tears. But just look what's happened since we've been here. Adulterous passion up at the manor, the colonel shot dead in the vicar's study, and no less than two confessions. Whatever next?
Oh, hello, darling.
Oh.
Have all the policemen gone?
Yes, they've gone.
I don't think you've met Gladys Cram.
Oh.
She's helping Dr. Stone with his excavation.
Ah, yes, how do you do, Miss Cram?
How do you do, Vicar?
Must be a very interesting pursuit.
I've only been with the doctor a few weeks. It seems a rather creepy sort of thing to be doing, digging up people that have been dead for hundreds of years and rooting about among their possessions.
Is Dr. Stone going to carry on with his excavations?
Oh, bless you, of course he is. He wouldn't let a little thing like a murder get in his way. I doubt whether he's even noticed. He's all wrapped up in the past. He'd 100 times rather look at a rusty old knife he's dug out of some old burial mound than see the knife Crippen cut his wife's throat with.
Well, I must confess I rather sympathise with his point of view. Oh, Mary?
Miss Marple's here. She wants to have a word.
I must be off. The doctor will be wondering where little Gladys has got to. Bye-bye, Vicar.
Goodbye, Miss Crown.
Thanks for the coffee, Mrs. C.
Oh, not at all. Bye.
Or shall I show her in or not?
Yes, Mary, if you please. Really, that girl goes from bad to worse. Can't you even get her to knock?
I can't get her to do anything, particularly since that Inspector Slack has been prying about the place.
What's Slack got to do with it?
He was responsible for her young man being sent to prison for poaching.
Oh, you mean young Archer. They're going out together.
Have been for 2 years. You never notice it. Anything.
I hope I'm not intruding.
No, no, of course not. Do come in, Miss Marple.
Oh, thank you.
You see, I couldn't help noticing that Mr. Redding and Mrs. Prothero had both been here.
Yes, and it worked out just as you said it would.
And who do the police think did it now?
Well, they don't seem to know where to go next. I do wish you'd tell me who your 7 suspects are, Miss Marple.
My 7 suspects?
Well, yes, you said that you could think of 7 people who would be glad of Prothero's death.
Did I? Oh, yes. Yes, I remember now.
Well, Was it true?
Oh, certainly it was true. But I mustn't mention names. You can think of them quite easily yourselves, I'm sure.
Well, there's Lettice Prothero, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Well, she always complained her father kept her short of money.
You can't possibly think Lettice did it. I don't know how people could be so hateful starting pointless stories when there's not a shred of truth.
If only there were any real clues.
Mm. There is the note, of course, that the Colonel was writing. As I said this morning, I thought it most peculiar.
It does seem to fix the time of death with remarkable accuracy. Why should he head it 6:20?
Why should he start to write the letter at all? That's the question. Your maid Mary had already told him that you wouldn't be in until 6:30 at the earliest. And he seemed quite willing to wait until then. And yet, at 6:20, he sits down and writes to say he can't wait any longer.
Mm, if only there hadn't been a time on it.
Exactly.
You know, as I remember it, that bit about it being 6:20 was written quite differently from the rest.
So it might have been the work of someone else.
Well, yes, I suppose it could.
Then it is possible that there was no time originally written on the letter at all. Colonel Prothero might actually have sat down to write it at about 6:35.
And while he was writing it, someone came in. But he'd have noticed.
Oh, he was rather deaf, you know.
Hmm. All right. The murderer stole up and shot him, noticed the letter and saw a way of giving himself an alibi by putting 6:20 at the top of it, and then altering the clock to that time.
Yes, it does seem quite possible.
So we need to find someone who has a cast-iron alibi for 6:20, but none at all for 6:35, or well, whatever the time was.
And, of course, the shot I heard could have been the real shot, and I thought nothing about it, nothing at all. Yet, now I try to recollect, it does seem to me that it was different from the usual kind of shot that one hears.
Louder?
No. No, I don't think it was louder. In fact, I can't really say in what way it was different, but I know that it was.
Mary said she thought she heard it too, but she was sure that it came from the woods.
No, no, yes, but that's just because we're always hearing shots coming from the woods. Oh,
there's
dear.
There's a note come.
A note? Who brought it?
Well, I didn't see, did I? Someone put it through the letterbox. Here.
Thank you, Mary.
I can't see through the door, can I? Oh.
Good Lord.
Well, what's it say?
I should be so very grateful if you could come and see me as soon as you possibly can. I'm in great trouble and need your advice. Sincerely yours, Estelle Lestrange.
Oh. Mrs. Lestrange? You don't suppose she's involved in all this?
Well, Mrs. Evans, who does my cleaning, tells me that Colonel Prothero's kitchen maid happened to overhear the most tremendous row between Mrs. Lestrange and the Colonel the night before his murder.
Well, there's more to her than meets the eye.
There may well be. But if Mrs. Lestrange is going to confess to the killing as well, I think I shall go out of my mind.
It's very good of you to come over so promptly, Vicar.
Oh, no, no.
I wanted to speak to you the other day in the church, but then I decided not to do so. I was wrong.
Well, as I said at the time, Mrs. Lestrange, I am only too glad to do anything I can to help you.
You said that as if you really meant it. Very few people in this world have ever sincerely wished to help me.
Well, I can hardly believe that.
It's true. Most people, well, most men at any rate, are out for their own hand.
Well, we are a selfish race, by and large.
I'm in a very peculiar position, Mr. Clement, and I want to ask your advice as to what I ought to do next. What is past and cannot be undone, you understand?
Mm.
Yes, what is it?
Please, Mrs. Lestrange, there's an Inspector Slack at the door. He says he must speak to you. He's quite insistent.
Then you'd better show him in, Hilda.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'll come back some other time.
If it's no trouble, I should be much obliged if you'd stay.
Well, of course, if that's what you wish.
Inspector Slack.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Lestrange. Oh,
I didn't expect to find you here, Vicar.
Oh, hello, Inspector. You have no objection to Mr. Clement being here, I trust?
No. Well, that is,
What can I do for you, Inspector?
I'm investigating the murder of Colonel Protheroe, madam. Purely as a matter of form, it would be useful to know where you were yesterday evening between 6 and 7.
Purely as a matter of form?
Yes, madam.
I was here, in this house.
And your maid can confirm that statement?
No, it was Hilda's afternoon off.
I see.
So you will have to take my word for it.
You're certain you were at home?
I said so.
Mrs. Price Ridley has informed me that she called here at about 6 o'clock and rang the bell. She could make no one hear and she went away again.
She is quite right.
But I understood you to say
that... If your maid is in, she can say not at home. If one is alone, the only thing to do is to let them ring.
But surely...
Elderly women bore me dreadfully, and Mrs. Price Ridley is exceptionally boring.
Oh, well,
she must have rung at least a dozen times before she went away.
I see. Now, I understand you paid a visit to Colonel Protheroe at Old Hall on the night before his death.
That is so.
Can you indicate to me the nature of that interview?
It concerned a private matter, Inspector.
Nothing is private where murder is concerned, Mrs. Lestrange. I'll be obliged if you would tell me what it was about.
I can assure you that nothing was said at that interview that could possibly have any bearing on the crime.
You're not necessarily the best judge of that.
At any rate, you will have to take my word for it.
In fact, I have to take your word about everything.
It does seem rather like that.
You were acquainted with Colonel Protheroe?
Yes, I was.
Well acquainted?
We were never close friends.
Wasn't it a rather unusual time to make a call?
Not from my point of view.
And just what do you mean by that?
I wanted to see Colonel Protheroe alone. I did not wish to see his wife or his daughter.
Why didn't you want to see them?
That, Inspector, is my business.
Then you refuse to say more?
Absolutely.
You realise that this will look very bad at the inquest, Mrs. Lestrange?
I'm sure it will, Inspector.
Well, don't say that I haven't warned you. Good afternoon, madam. Afternoon, Vicar.
Oh, good afternoon, Inspector.
I'm going to send you away as well, Vicar.
Oh, but
it is better so. It's too late for advice now.
But surely, Mrs. Lestrange...
No, Mr. Clement, it's too late. I have chosen my part. Good afternoon.
Well, Vicar, fishy business if you ask me.
Oh, do you really think so?
Why should a smart, well-dressed lady come down to this quiet little hole? Why go and see Protheroe at that strange hour of the evening? Why did she want to avoid seeing Mrs. and Miss Protheroe? Yeah, but I mustn't stop here gossiping.
All right.
Work to do. Oh, good afternoon, Doctor.
Hello, Inspector.
Oh, hello there.
What's he been up to? Has he been questioning Mrs. Lestrange?
Yes, he has.
He's been civil, I hope.
Well, by his lights, I suppose.
He's a fool. I'm glad I've met you, Clement. There's a matter I've been meaning to talk to you about, but all this business of the murder drove it out of my mind. It would have been best discussed in the privacy of my surgery, but since there's no one here to hear us...
Mm.
It's about that curate of yours.
Mr. Hawes?
He's a sick man. I thought perhaps you ought to know.
Well, how do you mean, sick?
He once had some strange form of sleeping sickness.
Really?
They could never quite get to the bottom of it. It seems the illness has a curious sort of moral effect. It can change your whole character.
Well, he looks perfectly normal to me. He's a bit tired out, perhaps.
His nerves are on a knife edge. There's no saying which way this thing might take him. It's a curious thought how many people in the past have been hanged or burnt at the stake simply because they were suffering from some disease that no one knew about. I honestly believe that all too often crime is a case for the doctor and not the policeman. It's a difficult business.
Tell me, Doctor, if you suspected, I mean if you knew, that a certain person was a murderer,
mm-hmm.
would you give that person up to the law, or would you be tempted to shield them?
I hope I should do my duty, Clement.
Well, no, the question is, what would you consider your duty to be?
The question comes to every man sometime in his life, I suppose. And every man must decide in his own way.
Does that mean you don't know?
Yes, I don't know. I have to make a call at the other end of the village. Can I give you a lift anywhere?
No, thanks. No, I'm I'm going to stroll back through the wood.
Right you are. But don't forget what I said about Hawes. You should keep an eye on him.
Ah, Lawrence. What on earth have you got there?
It's not a clue, if that's what you're thinking. It's a nice bit of rock I've selected for Miss Marple.
What on earth did she want with it?
It's for her Japanese garden. Actually, it's just an excuse to talk to her.
Oh.
I want to know if there's anything she happened to notice yesterday evening, something not necessarily connected with the crime, which might give us a clue to it all.
Well, it's possible, I suppose. There's not much escapes her.
Now that I'm off a hook, so to speak, I want to get to the bottom of this business. Inspector Slack doesn't exactly fill me with confidence.
And that lump of rock is your calling card, eh?
Exactly, Vicar. Exactly.
Oh, it's very thoughtful of you, Mr. Redding. Very thoughtful indeed. It's nice to find someone taking such a creative interest in my garden. May I offer you both a cup of tea?
No, thank you, Miss Marple.
It's very kind of you, but I mustn't stay. But there was something I wanted to ask you.
Yes, Mr. Redding.
I'm trying to carry out an investigation of my own into who might have killed Prothero. It's a way of clearing my name, I suppose. I was wondering whether you happened to notice anything earlier yesterday evening. The kind of thing that might have seemed totally insignificant at the time.
Oh, I know what you mean, of course. The sort you would not even bother to mention, but no, there was nothing.
Did you see anyone go by the path into the wood during the afternoon? Or come from it?
Oh, yes, quite a number of people. Dr. Stone and Miss Cram went that way. It's the nearest path up to the barrow. That was a little after 2 o'clock, and Dr. Stone returned that way. But you know that, Mr. Redding, since you encountered him yourself.
By the way, that shot you heard, Miss Marple.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Redding and Mrs. Prothero must have heard it too, while they were in the studio together.
Oh, yes, I suppose they did.
Yes. Yes, I believe I did hear some shots. Were there 2 or 3?
I only heard one.
It's only the vaguest impression in my mind. You see, I was completely taken up with...
Quite so. You had other things to think about. Inspector Slack has been trying to get me to say whether the shot was before or after you left the studio. I have the impression that it was after.
Well, that would put Dr. Stone in the clear, since I ran into him the moment I came into the lane. Not that there is the least reason why anyone should suspect him.
Oh, but I always find it prudent to suspect everybody just a little. I mean, you can never really be certain, can you?
Talking of which, there seems to be one curious thing that needs explaining. Mrs. Lestrange, the mystery lady of St. Mary Mead, paid a visit to Prothero after dinner on Wednesday night, and no one seems to have any idea what it was all about.
Perhaps the vicar knows.
No, I can throw no light on it at all, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm sure that somebody must know something. Someone is bound to have overheard what was going on. Someone always does.
How goes the great manhunt, Uncle?
Oh, Dennis.
Have the police arrested anyone else yet?
I fancy they're proceeding rather cautiously at the moment.
Yeah, they would know a real murder if he came up and bit them. You know, I've gone over every inch of the garden since the old boy was killed. I found 2 used matches and the metal cap off somebody's boot.
Oh, really?
And do you know, that Inspector Slack was not in the least interested.
That is extremely remiss of him.
Told me to go and play Sherlock Holmes on somebody else's patch. by the way, there's somebody waiting for you in your study.
Oh, really? Who is it?
That curate of yours who's always genuflecting and crossing himself.
You mean Mr. Hawes?
Yep, that's the chappie. He's very peculiar, isn't he? He was twitching all over.
It's terrible that such a thing should happen in the vicarage. It borders on blasphemy. Do the police have anyone else under suspicion now that Mr. Redding has been cleared?
Not at present, I believe.
I cannot imagine anyone who could do such a dreadful thing. And Colonel Prothero was not a popular man, but murder. A man would need a very strong motive.
Well, so I should suppose.
Prothero had many enemies, of course. He had a reputation on the bench for being excessively severe.
Indeed he did.
Oh, yesterday. The very morning of his death, I heard him boasting to you about sentencing that poacher.
Yes, you're right, he was.
He was shouting at the top of his voice for the whole village to hear. Did you tell the police what he said about that man Archer?
Archer? What's he got to do with it?
Well, don't you remember? Prothero said that Archer had sworn that he would get even with him for putting him in jail.
That's not sufficient reason for accusing a man of murder. I've no fancy for helping them put the rope around the neck of an innocent man.
Don't you think you have a responsibility to tell the police what Prothero said?
No, I do not. When you get to my age, Hawes, you'll find that you prefer to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
You haven't any ideas of your own as to the identity of the murderer, by any chance?
I? No, indeed. No.
Well, was this what you came to talk to me about, Hawes?
No. Not exactly.
What was it, then?
Oh, it was nothing of any importance. It's gone clear out of my mind.
Inspector Slack's here again.
Oh.
He wants to talk to you.
Well, ask him to come in.
I'd best be on my way.
Hawes, I do wish you'd tell me what it was you came here for.
It's nothing important, Mr. Clement. Really, it isn't. It can wait until another day.
Dear.
Extraordinary fellow.
Yes.
Who is he?
My curate.
Ah. Well, what's wrong with him, then?
I only wish I knew.
Anyway, I've traced that telephone call, the one that got you out of the house before the murder.
And who was it?
It's rather odd. It was put through from the north lodge of Old Hall. Now, that lodge is empty. The last lodge keeper was pensioned off and his successor hasn't arrived yet. A window at the back was broken in.
Ah.
No fingerprints on the telephone itself. It had been wiped clean. Now, that's very suggestive.
How do you mean?
I mean that it shows that call was put through deliberately to get you out of the way.
Ah.
Therefore, the murder was carefully planned in advance.
Yes, yes, I see that.
It also shows that the murderer was well acquainted with Old Hall and its surroundings. It can't have been Mrs. Protheroe. I've accounted for every minute of her time yesterday afternoon. It might be one of the servants, but it doesn't seem likely. It was a woman's voice you heard, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, I'm sure it was.
Uh-huh. So what other lady in the village would know Old Hall that well? That's the question. And I think I'm beginning to have an idea.
And who's that?
That would be telling.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, Leonard, but Miss Marple's just sent round to say that when the inspector's gone, could you pop over?
What? Oh, I've finished anyway.
It sounded quite urgent.
Mr. Clement, how good of you to call.
Oh, nonsense.
My nephew has just telephoned. He wants to come down tomorrow. Such a to-do. I shall have to prepare everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know whether there's any whiskey in the house.
Oh, well, if you'd like me to,
No, I didn't mean that. Oh, there's plenty of time, really. He writes such clever books, I believe, though people are not nearly so unpleasant as he makes out. Clever young men know so little of life, don't you think?
Would you like to bring him round to dine with us?
Oh, no, thank you. Though it is very kind...
I believe there was something you wanted to see me about.
Oh, of course. The business about my nephew put it right out of my mind. It's just that a rather curious thing happened to me last night.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you might like to hear about it.
Oh,
I felt rather wakeful. The murder was much on my mind. And I got up and looked out of my window. And what do you think I saw?
I cannot imagine.
Gladys Cram going into the wood with a suitcase.
A suitcase?
Isn't it extraordinary? What could she want with a suitcase in the wood at 12 o'clock at night?
Well,
I dare say it has nothing to do with the murder, of course, but it is a peculiar thing. And just at present, we must take notice of peculiar things.
Well, it's certainly very odd.
And quite a short time afterwards, she came back, and she hadn't got the suitcase with her.
Don't you think you should inform Colonel Melchett about this?
Oh, goodness, no. There may be some perfectly innocent explanation. Although I must admit I can't imagine what it might be. But I thought that you should know.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
And now I am going to pay a call at Old Hall.
To see Mrs. Protheroe?
It is not the front entrance I'm concerned with, but one of the maids there, Nancy Pratt, used to work for me. I have an idea that she might be able to tell me something about that conversation between Colonel Protheroe and Mrs. Lestrange.
You're sure it won't go any further?
Oh, goodness, no, my dear.
I just happened to be passing the Colonel's study window,
mm-hmm.
and the master was there with this lady. And, of course, he did speak very loud always, though it's very little I actually heard. And that was an accident, of course.
Oh, of course.
The master was evidently very angry. After all these years, that's what he was saying. You dare to come here. It's an outrage. I couldn't hear what the lady had to say, but whatever it was, he got angrier than ever. You shall not see her, he says. I forbid it. Looked as though the lady wanted to tell Mrs. Protheroe a thing or two, and he was afraid about it.
And did you hear anything else, Nancy?
Yes. I did. Something which struck me as very strange. He said, I don't believe it. Just like that. Whatever Haydock says, I don't believe it.
Whatever Haydock says? Whatever did he mean by that, I wonder?
And he said, it was all a plot.
You didn't hear the lady speak at all?
Only just at the end. She must have got up to go and come nearer the window, because I could hear her quite clearly. By this time tomorrow you may be dead, she said.
Oh?
Wicked the way she said it. By this time tomorrow you may be dead. What do you think of that?
The inquest was held on Saturday at the Blue Boar. It created a considerable amount of excitement in the village, but I cannot say that we learned anything from it. Murder by person or persons unknown. We hardly needed a coroner to tell us that. Mrs. Lestrange didn't even appear. Dr. Haydock had signed a medical certificate saying that she was too ill. Most unsatisfactory. An army of young men came down from the London newspapers and made quite a nuisance of themselves.
Ah, good Dr. Stone.
Yes, there
seem to be journalists everywhere. I've never known anything like this in my life. You see, I haven't the faintest idea how to deal with them. Could I possibly take refuge in your room for a few moments?
By all means, Vicar.
Thank you.
In here.
Good morning, Vicar.
Oh, good morning, Miss Cram.
To what do we owe the pleasure?
The Vicar's seeking sanctuary from the press for a few moments, Miss Cram.
Oh, can't see why they should want to come down here in the first place. Never heard anything so tame. Nothing what you might call spicy at all.
Oh, you were at the inquest then, Miss Cram.
Oh, fancy you not noticing me. A gentleman, even if he is a clergyman, ought to have eyes in his head.
Yes. Yes. Were you present also, Dr. Stone?
No, I'm afraid I take very little interest in such things. I spent the morning trying to put some of our recent finds into a perspective. There's a transverse arrowhead which is particularly intriguing, and an oxcapular shovel that I simply cannot account for at all. And then yesterday I came across a remarkably fine specimen.
I don't want to interrupt you, Doctor, but aren't you going to miss your train?
Bless my soul, I'd quite forgotten. Whatever would I do without you?
You're leaving?
Yeah. Just running up to town for a couple of days. My old mother to see tomorrow, some business with my lawyers. Monday. On Tuesday I shall return. Goodness, this suitcase is heavy. I understand from Mrs. Prothero that there are no obstacles to my continuing the excavation.
You're never going to be able to manage all that by yourself, you know. Let me give you a hand.
Oh, that's exceptionally kind of you.
No, not at all. You don't miss your train. And it'll give me an opportunity to dodge my way through all those tiresome reporters.
That's the train coming in now.
Plenty of time, Doctor. They always wait a minute or two. Have you got a ticket?
Yes, I have now. If you give me that suitcase, I'll... Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's quite all right.
My fault entirely. I've got to catch the train. Goodbye, Vicar, and thank you.
Goodbye. It's Mr. West, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
You're down here to see your aunt, I understand.
My annual penance, you might say, Vicar.
Well, do call in at the vicarage whenever you feel so inclined. We'd be delighted to see you.
Oh, thank goodness you're back. We're in the most terrible fix.
Why, what's happened?
Mary is shaking the vicarage dust from her shoes forever.
You mean she's leaving?
She gave her notice an hour ago.
Well, at least there'll be no more burnt puddings and slimy greens.
You're absolutely heartless. You don't care.
What put it into her head to hand in her notice?
She says her feelings have been hurt.
Lettuce said she didn't dust properly.
Well, she's quite right. But I don't see what our dust has to do with Lettuce Prothero.
It wasn't Lettuce's fault. I don't see why you have to be getting at her all the time.
I'm not getting at her, Dennis. But I don't see that Mary's dusting is any of her business.
Oh, you just don't like Lettuce. Griselda doesn't like her either. She says she's tiresome.
Look, Dennis, I know love is blind, but Lettuce just really...
Oh, look, if only people made a few allowances. The poor girl's going through a terrible time.
Oh, really?
You should have heard the fuss the Hartley Napiers kicked up just because she left their tennis party early. And on the very day her father was murdered. But don't people have any feelings?
Look, just at the moment, Dennis. I'm only concerned about my feelings. I don't want Mary to go. It would be most inconvenient. Please go talk to her, Leonard. Make her see reason.
But I've no particular desire for her to stay.
Please, Leonard. I couldn't bear her to go at the moment. I'll go and talk to her. For my sake. She's in your study.
I'll tell you what the matter is in two words. People coming snooping round here when my back's turned. What business is it of hers how often the study's dusted?
Do you mean to say that Lettice has been in here?
Well, we were all at the inquest. I'll tell you one thing. I've never been in a place before where they had a murder in the house, and I never want to be again.
What was Lettice doing?
I found her in here when I came back. She said she was looking for a little yellow beret. I told her that it wasn't here when I did the room on Thursday morning. Oh, she says, but I dare say you wouldn't have seen it. You don't spend much time doing the room, do you? And with that, she draws her finger along the mantel shelf and looks at it. Well, that was enough for me. If I don't give satisfaction, I'd rather go.
Yes, but Mary, none of this has to do with Mrs. Clement or myself. We haven't accused you of anything. My wife, I know, will be very sorry to lose you.
Oh, I've nothing against the mistress. Or against you, sir, for that matter.
Well, then, don't you think you're being rather silly?
I was a bit upset after the inquest and all, and that inspector Slack poking his nose about everywhere. But I wouldn't like to cause the mistress any inconvenience.
Then you'll stay?
Yes, sir. I'll stay.
Ah. Well, my wife will be very relieved.
And you've no complaints, sir?
Oh, no, Mary, no. I think the study is remarkably spick and span, considering everything that's happened. Though whether I can ever again call it my
What is it, sir?
What's that on the carpet, just by the desk?
Oh. Looks like a woman's earring.
Now, where have I seen that before?
I wasn't there on Thursday morning, I swear to it.
I believe you, Mary. I'm sure it wasn't. But I would be very grateful if you'd keep this to yourself. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. If you say so.
Good. And now I shall go and tell my wife the good news.
Oh, Leonard, you are so clever. I could never have done it.
How like Lettice. She couldn't have left that yellow beret here on Wednesday. She was wearing it for tennis on Thursday. She never knows where she's left anything.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Miss Marple wants us to go over tonight after dinner to amuse the nephew. She's afraid things may be rather dull for him. I said we would go.
Oh, very well. Though I can think of pleasanter ways of spending an evening. Raymond West can be quite insufferable when he puts his mind to it.
This fascination with murder is so depressing. I can think of nothing more unutterably banal. It baffles me why people take such an interest in it.
Nonsense. You talked of nothing else all through dinner.
Oh, so you do have a theory about it, Mr. West?
Logically, only one person could have killed Colonel Prothero.
And who is that?
The vicar.
Oh,
of course, I know you didn't do it, Clement. Life is never what it should be. But think of the drama, the fitness of it all. Church warden murdered in the vicar's study, and by the vicar himself. Delicious.
And the motive, Mr. West?
Pent-up frustration.
No.
Week after week, year after year, he's seen the man at vestry meetings, choir boys' outings, handing round the bag in church, bringing it to the altar. Always he nurtures a deep hatred for him, but he won't admit it. And so it festers underground. Until one day.
Have you ever felt like that, Leonard?
No, really, Griselda.
I have heard that you said the world would be a better place without him 2 days before he died.
Oh, I do wish Dennis wouldn't tell such silly tales.
Oh, no, I didn't hear it from Dennis. At least, not directly. It was from Miss Cram.
Miss Cram?
Yes, she came to see me this afternoon. I met her in the village and invited her to come and see my garden.
Is she interested in gardens?
No, I don't think so. But it makes a very good excuse for a talk, don't you think?
And did you find anything out?
She volunteered a lot of interesting information about herself. All her people seem to be dead or in India, poor soul. Mm. She's gone off to Old Hall for the weekend.
Well, why on earth should she do that?
It seems that Mrs. Prothero invited her to do some secretarial work. Oh, there are so many letters to cope with. It turned out rather fortunately. Dr. Stone being away, she has nothing to do, and it must make a refreshing change from archaeology.
Archaeology? Is that the Dr. Stone?
Yes, he's excavating a barrow on Prothero's land.
Oh, he's a good man. I met him at a dinner not long ago, and we had a most interesting talk. I must look him up.
Well, unfortunately, he's gone up to London for a few days. You bumped into him at the station.
Well, the only person I bumped into was a fat little man with glasses.
Yes, Dr. Stone.
But, my dear fellow, that wasn't stone.
Not stone?
Not the archaeologist. Not the faintest resemblance.
Extraordinary.
That suitcase I saw Gladys Cram carrying up into the woods.
What about it?
It reminds me of the time the man went round pretending to be the gas inspector. Quite a little haul he got.
An imposter. Now, this is really interesting.
Well, the question is, has it anything to do with the murder?
Well, not necessarily, but...
Yes, it is a peculiar thing coming at a time like this. A very peculiar thing.